For this next collection of stories, I think it would be valuable if I start by bringing into focus a relationship between events or experiences and occasion, which I relate that to meaning. Our experiences, or a certain specific event that we experience in our life, it can be the case that the meaning, the impact, and the meaning is transmitted to us or is realized by us in the moment. But that's not always necessarily true. The distance or gap in time between the event and the occasion, meaning the gap between the actual experience and then the meaning that we later recognize, it's an awakening awareness that can come much later. And in fact, it may be a number of different experiences that are rendering a similar kind of understanding or knowledge or signal. That's one way, because I think about the world as a signal to noise ratio. There's a lot of noise, but there is signal. And so sometimes this message, this signal, this information that is being transmitted or communicated to us through our experience, it doesn't really take on that deeper meaning until later. And sometimes it's multiple smaller events, experiences that start to unfold this awakening awareness and this expanding consciousness later in life. I look at it kind of like a connect the dots puzzle. We start to connect the dots and the image emerges, the big picture emerges. I think the same thing is true of parts and pieces and roles that people play. I call it operational platforms. So it's kind of like a jigsaw puzzle. Everybody kind of fits together in their role and they serve the larger mission. So that's just, you know, two ways that I've modeled. One, you know, being the connect the dots puzzle and the other being a jigsaw puzzle. Just so, you know, both of those conceptual abstractions lend to the emergence of the big picture. So with that said, the first story that I want to share happened in ninth grade at the school I was attending, Slidell High School. And this particular day, our math teacher, Mrs. Jones, told the class that she was taking us on a field trip for class that day. And the field trip was out to the field behind the school at the edge of the woods. So when we got out there, she said, okay, so we're going to do an imaginary puzzle, a job. We need to cut down that tree. And she pointed to a pine tree that was at the edge of the woods. And she said, so we're going to imagine that our house sits right over here. And in order to fell this tree, in order to cut this tree down, we need to determine whether or not that tree is high enough to fall and hit the house. And so basically what I learned that day was you solve for the unknown using the knowns. And here's how she demonstrated it. So she had a yardstick and a measuring tape. And so we measured the shadow of the yardstick. And then we measured the shadow of the tree. And using those three known measurements, quantities, the shadow of the tree, the shadow of the yardstick, and the known length of the yardstick, 3 feet or 36 inches, we did a calculation with a formula, and it gave us the unknown, which was the height of the tree. And so I was like, wow, that is powerful. Knowledge is power. And so a couple things, of course, that I learned that day was, one, the use of mathematics. You know, it's very powerful if you know how to apply it. And the second thing was the conceptual abstraction of, you know, the imaginary puzzle of cutting the tree down and determining whether or not it was high enough to strike the imaginary house. That was all conceptualization. And so I didn't realize it at the time, but later, as I reflected upon a series of experiences that I had, I realized that was probably one of the first times I was exposed to the deeper understanding and knowledge of and application of triangulation. So the second experience that I wanted to share was, I think it was probably the year after that, so it was either 10th grade or 11th grade, I can't remember which, but it was a spring day, and I had wandered out onto the same field, but closer to the school building, after lunch, and I was just kind of, I was laying on my back. Like I said, it was a spring day. It was still a little coolness in the air, and when the breeze would come up, it was just enough. It was that delicious experience where it gives you just a little bit of goosebumps. But I was laying in the sunlight, and so the warmth of the sun was warming me, and it was just, you know, I don't know how to, it's kind of cozy, I guess, is the only way I can say it. So anyway, I just kind of lay in there, and I was looking up at the clear blue sky, and I was just, you know, I just had this thought of, man, it would be so cool to see this scene from above on such a beautiful day. And so I just kind of drifting and enjoying the experience. And I looked up, and I don't know how, it was kind of like in this dream state, I just saw the curvature of the earth. And I was like, wow, that is cool. And so in my mind's eye, I rotated my view, and I looked down, and I could see, you know, earth below me. And I could start to make out some details, like I think the first thing I noticed was the high school was near a water tower, and I saw the water tower. And so that was kind of like it started to orient me to the scene that I was in. And so then I saw the school, and I saw the field, and I saw this spot, this thing lay, you know, in the field, and I recognized that as my body. And And in that moment, I became afraid, deathly afraid, because I thought I died. And in that instant, I was back in my body, and I sat up, and I was like, whoa, what was that? So I think what it left me with was I had questions, but I didn't even know how to ask the questions. I wanted answers, but I didn't know how to ask the question that would take me to the answers that I was seeking. And so in reflection, what I learned was the power of the question, because the question frames the answer. Now, that wasn't at that moment, that event didn't bring me that knowledge, understanding, and wisdom in that moment. It was later when I reflected back on the experience. What I did do that day was I got up and I went to the school library and I checked out a Bible, because I figured if there was anywhere that could start me on my path of asking the correct questions to frame the answer, that would be a good start. So I know that was around 1972, because until a few years ago, I still had that Bible, and I think the due date was like maybe April or so of 72. In fact, years later, when I moved back to the town where I went to high school, I actually took the Bible back and turned it in. It was, I don't know, 15, 20, 20 years overdue. I'm not sure how long, but anyway, I did return it. So I guess the thing that really struck me about the experience was at that moment when I perceived the curvature of the earth on the horizon, and I was awestruck. I was like, that's just, wow, that's beautiful. And then I rotated my view downward in my mind's eye to see my body on the field, and I became afraid, and I was grounded. And it kind of left me with that feeling of what would have happened if I hadn't been afraid. Could I have further explored that experience? Now, that's only happened to me that one time, but it was a decoupling of the way that I viewed the world. Now, I'd never viewed the world the same afterwards. And part of that decoupling was it was consciousness projected. Now, I've heard it referred to, you know, out-of-body experiences, astral projection. I've seen some articles about this kind of stuff, and I've also talked to some people about it, who sought the experience. But the main thing I got was that consciousness can be, it's not, how can I say this? It's not just a part of the living body. It's something more. Consciousness, like I said, consciousness projected. That's kind of what I didn't really understand or completely fathom the meaning of it, but that was what I started to awaken to, that consciousness is more than just our body. There's something more to it. So years later, I was in college after I got out of the service. I was using my VA benefits to further my education. And of course, I went through placement testing, which everyone usually does. And I got called into the guidance counselor's office for the results. And I think his name was Ray Ziegler. So Mr. Ray, you know, was telling me that I scored well in the areas. And as a result, he said, you know, a lot of times I can tell people they're much stronger in this area than in this area. And if you have a strength, you play to your strengths. Oftentimes, if you play to your strengths, the path to satisfying the conditions to lead to, let's say, a career will come easier to you because you're gifted in that area. But he said, based on my general results across the broad fields, that I could become anything I wanted to become. Now, of course, later in life, when I reflected back on that, I thought, well, Ray was a positive, encouraging kind of guy. He was a counselor, after all. And he probably told a lot of people, if not everyone, the same thing to encourage us. But it left me with a question, which left me with a quest. When I walked out of the office and I was standing in the hallway after I closed this door, I just sort of thought about, okay, if I can become anything I want to become, what's worthy of becoming? Boy, that was a question. And it left me on a quest for the rest of my life, up to and including now, and I'm sure into the future. It became a question of what's worthy of becoming. And so everything that I'm sharing in these stories is part of that path, part of that quest that's led me to an awakening awareness and therefore an expanded consciousness. And I wish to do everything I can do to share the best of what's been shared with me and what I've discovered and been able to formulate, to put words to, that I've come to along this path. And that's really all I'm trying to do in the time that I have left in the human condition. So anyway, I think that's the best I can do to do justice to part of how I came to, you know, follow this path, how I narrowed my path and took upon myself this quest. Anyway, thank you.